Welcome to the One Speed MMA podcast.
We didn't even get countdown. You just threw that right on me.
Well, because I don't have to listen to an intro song and give us a 5, 4, 3, 2.
It's okay. We're going. We live.
I, of course, am yours truly, Flying Smitty, here with Carson Wood.
Yours falsely, Carson Wood.
Yours falsely, Carson Wood. Carson.
Justin.
Why are we recording so late this week?
Well, some of us have dads.
I forgot about that. Yeah, you are totally dadless.
Yes.
I'll be your dad.
No.
Yeah, no, that would be weird.
Yeah, you feel like you're a bad dad. I want you to practice with another kid first.
I didn't make you wear sunscreen either. And now you're all burned.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm all burned.
Yeah.
You're all burned.
We've been out. We've been out and about, which we forgot to bet. I would be owing up on a bet
you
right
would.
Now.
Next time, I get to keep my dog at least, because I know that if it would have lost, you would be bringing that up right now. So that's,
yeah, I'd have been going and getting it and leaving.
That's one solid that I get. Yeah, you would. Podcast is off. I'm taking your dog, and it'll be weird if I ever bring it back over here. So,
so I see Chelsea cry.
Yeah. So with the podcast, we're just not going to do it anymore. It's done. Lots of news. Did you listen to the MMA Hour today?
No, I think it's too long. I never listen to it.
I listen to it at work. And it makes it real easy to listen to, otherwise I never would.
Well, I have a lot of other ones that I listen to that I can't just dedicate 4 hours of my life to MMA. I got Funny Guys, Bill Burr, got Arsenal for soccer, parts of Joe Rogan, which still that's 3 hours long.
Whatever Reddit decides is worthy of actually sharing.
That's a good one. Yeah, like Fight Companion on him defending Brandon Schaub. Do you see that?
Uh-uh.
I guess it seemed like people were trashing Schaub on the message boards when they were doing it live on YouTube. And he left to go to the bathroom, and Joe just stopped and was like, guys, Brendan's a good guy, man. Don't be hard on him. I remember somebody else was being hard on him.
I was being hard on him. Actually, there was a nice message on Reddit that there was a guy that was just starting to do film. Mm-hmm. And as most of us do, as we start doing things, we try and share it with other people so we can get feedback, right? And so what apparently happened was he did a TriStar Gym quick documentary or something like that, and then he ended up sending it to as many people as he could on Twitter through direct messages and stuff. And the only one to share it and give him any kind of feedback was Brendan Schaub. So he was like, there's just a nice story about Brendan Schaub, so everyone doesn't just, crap all over him. And he said everyone that replied to it was actually really nice to him. They asked him to share his video and different things like that. Like, there are some good people on the Reddit community, and there's some terrible people. I've learned
it's the internet. It's
yeah. That's what the internet's made for.
Yeah. I just feel like Reddit has more, and it's because of the upvote downvote function. I think
that everyone uses incorrectly, including me.
Not really incorrectly.
You're not supposed to downvote stuff you just don't like.
What are you supposed to downvote?
You downvote things that aren't relevant to the either the conversation or to the page.
I don't know. If somebody says something that's dumb that I don't like, I'll downvote it.
Oh, yeah, they downvote them into oblivion.
Yeah. But that's the thing is it's like you usually get the best of the internet in the top place, whether it's funny or relevant, just because it's a good function, in my opinion. It still has its deficiencies. There are certain things that, like you said, if somebody doesn't agree with it, you say an unpopular political opinion, but I have a good point. Or not even political, even just with fighting.
Yep.
Like, I don't like Wonder Boy style. It's defensive, and even though it's way awesome. Yeah. But, like, it's like Lyoto Machida.
Whatever you end up saying.
There was a lot of people in Ottawa that didn't like it. We'll get to that later.
Yeah, my favorite thing is how certain people are super understanding of sarcasm, and other people, when I try sarcasm, it never comes off as sarcasm. When other people try sarcasm, they get upvoted all the way to the top. It's like, wait a minute.
Most of that's inside jokes, though. Like, it's understood.
Yeah, but my inside joke was, who was the best person that came into the UFC and, I don't know, greatest of all time's first fight or something like that? And I said, Anderson Silva fought Chris Leben, and then Chris Leben went on to be the GOAT. And I got downvoted into oblivion, and people were like, Chris Leben sucked. And it was like, obviously, I'm joking about Anderson Silva and playing on Anderson Silva being the greatest of all time, but him fighting Chris Leben. Anyway.
It's the thing about it is it also depends on who sees it initially and start getting up votes to see more people to see it. Because if you look at the people...
Oh, I was one of the first commenters.
People, well, that doesn't matter. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying it depends on who sees it and upvotes at the beginning. Because that being the first can also be a problem if they start downvoting you immediately.
Yeah, I stuck on
all
that.
I'm saying,
it was pretty interesting.
All I'm saying is even the people that get like thousands of upvotes on their sassy, sarcastic comments, if you go look at their history, most of them are going to be downvoted.
They just that one. It just depends. Lightning struck that one time. So let's get into the fights. Let's not get into it too much with the results, but so you watched them today, correct?
I watched the last two today.
So I'm going to tell you the best thing that I ever did is watch this on silent.
I've tried that a few
out
times.
Out of the volume?
Yeah.
And it was interesting to follow it on Twitter and then listen to it with no volume. So the first one was Calderwood, Valerie Letourneau.
JoJo Calderwood and Valerie
yes.
Letourneau.
Great Atlanta. Fight. Really, really enjoyed it. JoJo looked great. Two major things coming out of this that I want to discuss. JoJo being broke, her training at TriStar, which obviously helped her out, and then being like, now I have to go get a job so I can get money to come back to TriStar. So the interesting thing is one of two things. Why doesn't TriStar be like, no, come back. We will take a larger cut of your next paycheck, but you can train for free. You know what I mean? Like, or why doesn't... And obviously she's going to go back to where she's at in Ireland. I believe she's where she's from.
She's from Scotland.
Scotland. She can go back, and I guarantee you there's a gym that'll let her train there for free and for a percentage. However,
why
Donald...
Why can't you just go to SGB? I know it's not in Scotland. SBG. I get that, but...
I'm sure that they would invite her. I don't know.
It's close enough, I would feel like.
I would say, you know, there's got to be a moment in this where, like, oh, maybe she's not, like, yeah, she's broke. And I understand that she spent all of her money on this, and then but she didn't get a fight of the night. TriStar's really expensive. A lot of them are by invite only. Maybe she doesn't make enough for it to, you know, to just go on their payroll. You know what I mean? Where she's going to get a percentage back. The interesting thing about this.
She's been out for a year, too, though. She hasn't been bringing in money. So, I mean, maybe now they probably will work something out. Somebody somewhere will. For how good she looked against Letourneau, who also actually looked good at parts of it, and she dropped her...
Letourneau's last fight was a title fight. And she
wasn't it two ago, or was it last
It might have been two, but she took Joanna Champion to a decision.
Mm-hmm.
So she's no slouch. The thing that really kind of solidifies this is how Donald Cerrone is mentioning that he doesn't get paid that much, and I bet you he makes a lot. I mean, he's got houses and cars and flips.
He gets 79.
And he should make way more than that.
Yes. Yeah. 100%.
For how often he fights, for when he steps in, for all of those things. An 80,000, 160,000 would easily survive people for the year, but that includes insurance. That includes.
Well, he gets his insurance paid for.
No, but I mean, well, you still have to pay out of pocket. You know what I mean?
I doubt it with the UFC.
You don't think that
it wouldn't? Why would he fully cover him? I mean, I don't. If
you don't
I
think some of that
it.
Comes out of their paycheck?
No, I don't. I don't think so.
And I wouldn't. You would know more than that.
I don't. As far as their contracts go, no, I don't. I have no idea. It would just make sense to me if you're going to go as far to say as we're going to cover the fighters. It would be so expensive to insure them anyways. I feel like you might as well just go the rest of the way and make sure that they're... I just feel like they have something set up where the fighters don't pay anything. They might, though. In all honesty, I have no idea.
So here's my argument in this and why a lot of people are like, $160,000 a year, that's more than I make. So let's
that's
get...
That's a fight.
Yeah, well...
If he wins.
Yeah, and I mean, if he fights 2 to 3 times a year...
He so fights like so five.
Yeah, well, he does. But the argument I'm going to make is, how much are you making for the company? How much is he making for the company? Is he making, when he fights, is he making them an extra $1 million? Is he making them an extra $2 million, you know, when he jumps on that card? Potentially. You know, if it's a pay-per-view and he's a co-main, he could bring in enough buys to be an extra $1 million for the company. Now, if I'm making $50,000 a year at my company, am I bringing them in hundreds of thousands or millions of dollars a year? Probably not. So therefore, it's equivalent. You know, it's not equivalent, but what I'm saying is those people that say you should be happy with 160 or 200 or $320 a
that?
Year. Oh, you get both sides. You get both sides where people are saying, no, they don't get paid enough. They're professional athletes. All other athletes get millions of dollars a year. Well, and then you have the other people that say you make more than I do. You should...
Well, to be fair, he's putting his life on the line in a way that most people aren't. most people. There are firefighters, there's policemen out there, I understand. But on top of that, it's also kind of his fault. What do we all know Cowboy for?
Being a tough guy.
Being a tough guy, anytime, anywhere, any price. Yep. And so, and I mean, it's like Chell said, you're...
Change of mindset.
Well, yeah, and I mean, it's like, I think he's past the point of fighting for belts now. Again, it's like the Conor McGregor thing. And there's very few
That's
people...
That's where the mindset changed, him and Diaz.
Mm-hmm. And I think that it's very... I don't know, because there are a few people that not only will I tune into any card that they're on regardless, and I'd pay it if I need to. This was a free one this week, luckily, but it's people like Cerrone, and I pay attention to everything leading up to it except for this time because we were in at E3. Diaz Brothers, Chael Sonnen when he was around, Conor McGregor.
GSP.
No, I don't really care. Like, I'm talking about leading up to
it.
Like,
yeah.
Just watching tuning up everything. Like,
watching their personalities on
Jones,
or anything else.
DC, if it's with those two. Vitor Belfort's kind of up there, too. Or, like, he always has, like, interesting take. And I feel like he's been around the game so long. So
you're invested in them outside of...
In that case, I would check out any embedded that he's in. So, I mean,
let's just hope he doesn't get his hair cut.
He can't.
Don't get your hair cut.
I can't.
Who can't?
Shave bald.
Cormier?
Oh, cool. I was talking about Donald Cerrone.
Oh, I thought we were getting into Vitor Belfort.
No. It's anyway, what I'm saying. Like, these are the...
I'll quit cutting you off now. I apologize.
No, these are just the fighters that I would say that I tune into regardless.
Yeah.
So in that sense, like most of the other fighters, I'm not going to other outlets to check on them.
Yeah.
So I can understand how for that, like the UFC, like if they're going to have commercial revenue from... like an embedded that I watch, because I'll watch the whole embedded series if one of those guys is on it, right? It means more to them, I assume.
Mm.
So yes, they should pay him more. But at the same time, it's his fault because he's always known for being like, I'm your guy anytime, anywhere. It's the same thing with Roy Nelson.
It's a mindset, and it's changing, and I think that's partly why the UFC is selling, and we'll get into that a little bit later. But fighter pay is a big, huge issue. Huge issue, and now that everyone's realizing that being a champion and getting paid 50-50 isn't going to pay your bills or isn't worth it, you know, belt's not worth it if you can go fight a Conor McGregor and make a quick meal. So it's one of those things. The second thing about this fight is the Reebok uniform malfunctions that have been happening ever since Reebok actually took over. You've had Ronda Rousey, who's had issues. You've had other female fighters.
That was her fault, though, because she didn't pack the one.
But that was also when Reebok had kind of come over.
She didn't actually have the... I mean, I don't know if it was her fault, but yeah. there was a packing problem also, so they had to, like, double up on one bra. It's still
an issue. You have Uriah Faber's pants coming down, which happens in other organizations, but we can throw that in with the Reebok just to pile on them, as we want to anyway. Ollie Letourneau this weekend had issues where... JoJo Champion actually stopped and was like, hey, your boob's out of your shirt.
I feel like that one was a, like, she did a, what's it called, a crane kick?
Mm-hmm.
And it came, I mean, I don't know any wardrobe that's not going to come down on
but
that.
But when
one.
Was the last time you saw a wardrobe malfunction when they were in Strikeforce or an Invicta or, you know, someone else?
That's what I'm saying.
Who, like, actually has a uniform.
The Ronda one is on Reebok. Yeah. The Uriah one's on Reebok. There was another one. Recently,
another female fighter.
They're just awful, like top to bottom. Reebok's awful, but I feel like the Letourneau one. It's unfortunate,
mm-hmm.
but I feel like that's not really Reebok's fault. It was
just the pull down.
It just came down, yeah. And there was a couple times that she kind of got like exposed. And it could have, like, it seemed like it was falling down, so it could also be on Reebok on that. But that one's kind of dubious. I don't know if I'd necessarily put that one on Reebok. I hate their gear anyways.
I am.
All right, I'm fine with that. I don't like them.
And you know what they really got wrong?
Hmm.
Apparently, they've got uniforms for Canada for Brock Lesnar. They just got it completely wrong of what state or what country he lives in. Fights out of.
I'm joking.
No, he picked Canada.
Did he?
That
I was going to say.
Facetious.
I was going to say. So you got to work on that sarcasm.
See, Reddit, sarcasm.
Downvote.
Downvote. Damn it. Good thing I tested my material here before I took it over to Reddit.
This is the thing on that is I honestly, like, I could see Brock doing that. That's why, like, I wasn't sure if it was or not. So he legitimately,
yeah,
he did.
He's representing Saskatchewan. And they're probably doing it because they don't have any Canadian fighters on there. So they've got Brock Lesnar representing Canada now.
What did I say?
They need a person from each country. So that I was really impressed with that fight. What fight did you really enjoy? So you watched the last two today. You probably watched, I don't know what the other ones you saw. What else did you end up seeing? Just, did you only watch the main two?
No, I watched the whole thing, the whole main event. Well, the stupid NASCAR thing came in before the Calderwood Letourneau fight, like the first round I missed.
And the other one was on FS2, which nobody has.
I think I do, but really? I didn't expect it to be on that. Like, stupid NASCAR.
You could have streamed it.
I could have. What was I doing?
It doesn't.
I think I was at the movie. I think I was at X-Men. I didn't even think about it. But
how was that?
I was too hard on it. It was fun. There was, especially in context of the trilogy.
I heard 2/3 is great, and one. No,
I wouldn't say
bad.
Great. It's fun. Like they have some good times, but it's like this is my like nerd problem with it. Do you remember what happened in the third one in the first trilogy? How?
Yeah, everyone dies.
Well. In particular, Wolverine kills Phoenix
because
he can withstand.
Yeah, her trying to light him on fire every time.
Yeah, because he heals instantly. Apocalypse heals instantly. They show that when Mystique cuts his throat and he heals instantly. And then there's a part where there's a Phoenix-esque thing that happens and he can't heal and he dies. Well, he doesn't necessarily die, but it's like it weakens him, and it's just like it's just no consistency at all through the whole thing.
And then
which
Cable,
is fine.
Cable comes and gets him and takes him back into the past. I'm joking.
I think he goes to the future, doesn't he?
I have no idea. I haven't seen it.
Believe, especially because it's already in
you
the
actually
past.
Just ruined it for me.
I think it's already because especially because it's
in the
80s. Past.
It's already in the 80s.
And plus, I think Cable comes from the future.
Cable does come from the future.
It's been a while since I've seen it. But the fight
anyway,
what was the fight that you liked in particular? Because
I really like the headliner. We can talk O'Connell. I think he got maybe not robbed, but it could have been a split decision at least. I think he did enough to get himself on the Utah card if he's healed up in time. He made a lot of fans. He did the old Max Holloway, you know, throw down your hands to show that you want to stand and bang. He looked good, bad in the first, and then I think he lost the next two rounds, or you know, half and half in the second, and then he definitely lost the third. You know, it was hard to stare at the carrot overtanned Canadian guy, but he put on a pretty good fight. I don't see him really go. I don't see either.
Jose?
Yeah, I don't see either of them really succeeding in the UFC. I see them having those types of fights, but that's about it. But it was a fun fight, and everyone talked about how it could be fight of the year, which I don't think. I mean, it's just two guys standing in front of each other and hitting each other. Like it wasn't technical. A lot of people said it was like Brian Stan, Wanderlei Silva. And I even think Brian Stan, Wanderlei Silva was more technical than that fight was. That was just two guys who gassed out. It looked like a heavyweight fight, punching each other. I enjoyed it. But
yeah, I mean, for fight of the year, though, you go for spectacle, not technicality.
You go to spectacles.
Yeah, I mean, you typically go with
wall and watch.
Yeah, it's like it's going to be the Henderson Shogun fight. Just what it's going to be, because I mean, if you want to go technical, it would be the main event would be the fight of the year.
So good. So you watch
except for Rory was not technical.
No, Thompson looked so fast.
Well, and Rory just eventually was just cover face and just.
Yeah, he was right. one hand out.
I understand why, but yeah. It's like. It's like the reincarnation of Lyoto Machida.
So a lot of people are saying that Rory McDonald just looks like he's mentally done. I mean, obviously he's not going to retire, but they were saying that Lawler took his soul, like he said that he does. Lawler's the soul reaper, and that Lawler broke him, and that's why Thompson won. And I don't believe that.
So my thought in watching it today is Thompson's got a few options. I almost think that he should pull a Lawler and just disappear out of the UFC for a while and go get money else. I mean, that's really easy for me to say from here. I'm not telling him he should do that. I'm saying I wouldn't mind him going to, like, WSOF. You get some easier fights. You don't take as much damage. You get through your mid-20s, and then your late-20s, make a good run for the title, come up with some new tools and stuff like that.
I think Bellator, the WSOF champion, two-weight champion is Branch. I don't know if it's Dion or David. Rory could easily crush him. I don't know who the champion is, the welterweight champion is over in Bellator, but I know that Rory could crush them. Will Brooks came over due to competition, not even for pay, but just to be in the UFC, which is weird to me, because in a couple of years, he'll just be complaining about pay. But no, I'm glad that I watched this without the volume on, because the first two rounds to me were a complete chess match. Each person was waiting for the other one to show their cards. And the first one to show their cards was Rory when he went for the single leg takedown, or the leg lock, or the knee lock, or whatever you want to call it, with the somersaults. He tried that twice, didn't get it. That right there was a really good indication of how that fight was going to go. In the, I believe, the third round or the end of the second, Rory actually took him down and he got right back up, which was also absolutely indicative of how that fight was going to go.
There was another one that he took him down and he ended up on top too.
Thompson
ended up on top.
Yeah. I think it ended up rolling that way. And the thing was, is you could see Thompson, if you go back and watch that fight, that third takedown attempt where Thompson immediately gets up, you can see it in Thompson's face. He's like, cool, I got this. And it just, everything changed from there. He started striking more. He opened up a little bit more. And man, that kid is fast. Thompson is just quick. Well, he threw very few legs, you know, for a karate guy. For how he dismantled Johnny Hendricks with his legs, he threw a lot less kicks against Rory McDonald. And I would say Hendricks is probably a better wrestler than McDonald is.
Not necessarily an MMA wrestler.
Like NCAA champion.
So is he better than GSP at MMA wrestling?
All right, yeah, and there is a difference between wrestling, but it's just interesting, man. I really like the fight. Yeah, I could say.
Is he going to ever do like a roll in, heel hook, and grab the leg? Like, you know, he's just more agile, and where I don't think he worried ever about a takedown from Henderson because he's so much faster.
Hendricks,
thank you. So he looked good. Had to eat crow on that 100%. And
I didn't expect him to be so dominant.
Me either. The other thing that I was going to say with Rory on top of with, and we'll get into it, like you said, the potential UFC selling, and a lot of people got to start looking at this, holding out, make them maybe make a move, because regardless, you're going to be able to shop your talents around if the new buyers, it does in fact go that way. You're going to be able to see if they're willing to pay more. If they're not, then you're still going to be able to go make some money and some revenue off another promotion.
Getting into that, we'll get into that a little bit, but I think just one statement that'll start conversation with that is, I think those organizations that own sports teams that are used to spending money are going to be ready to spend more money. And I think that's great for the sport. However, they don't understand MMA, and we can get into that. Cerrone, you're a big Cerrone guy.
Mm-hmm.
What'd you think about the fight? He looked very dominant. He looked
very good.
How about how big he looked at 170?
Looked huge.
Yeah.
I think that's also a product of him fighting back-to-back at 170 more, like twice, you know?
And being able to keep the weight on.
Mm-hmm.
I thought he looked great against Cote. I've never, and I probably somewhere on this podcast, if you go back far enough, I've never really been sold on Cote. I've never been.
I was going to ask you this. Is there any fighters that have been around forever that you just still feel like you don't know?
I remember watching Cote fight against Anderson Silva after Tough 4.
I mean, apart from Cote. I mean, because that's what Cote is for me. He's
Lorenz Larkin beat Robbie Lawler at 185 in Strikeforce. And no one, like.
No, I'm asking other than you if there's like a big name fighter that's been around for a while. Has he been around for a while?
He beat Lawler in Strikeforce.
I don't really know him.
But you know what I mean? Yeah, exactly. So, I mean.
Well, no, I'm talking about like a name though. Like Cote is somebody that has fought against Anderson Silva. I feel like I should know who he is. But I feel like I've only caught a few of his fights and I just don't really know him.
I would have to take some actual time to think about it to be like. Yeah, that fighter's been around for forever.
And I realized that because, like, when they were fighting, I just had no opinion on him. I was like,
Gerard Mousasi.
That's another one.
I feel like, and they fought each other, and he had to go. There's just guys that go in, do their job, and, I mean, RDA, everyone had to be like, oh, yeah, he did beat the who's who. Like, because when he first came in, he lost so many that no one cared anymore.
Khabib.
But he got injured and then disappeared.
Well, even before that, like, I didn't know that he beat RDA or anything until probably this podcast. It's like,
I think there's a lot of the 125ers, like Ali Baganatov or whatever his name is, that fought the first fight in. He's done really well in the 125 division, but he just lost to somebody. You know what I mean? I think the 125 division are John Moraga. All of anyone that you bring up in the 125 division, I'm going to be like, I've heard the name. If you were to put him in a usual suspects lineup, I wouldn't be able to tell you who he is. And I think Patrick Cote falls in that category. Like, yeah, which of these fighters is Patrick? Which of these French fighters is Patrick Cote? Like, that's Chet Congo. That's GSP. That's Roy McDonald. That must be Cote. Yeah. He's not Brazilian. He's French. He's Canadian. French Canadian.
Oh, because Chet Congo is actually French, right? Though, isn't he?
Yeah. Maybe.
So okay. So Rory's from. I was about like, oh man, I've been.
Rory's from that, like, Vancouver.
I've been lying to people for a while because I was like. I thought GSP was from Montreal. Chet Congo's from France.
Yeah.
They all speak French, though, right? And then is Albin Mercier, or if that's how he pronounces his
name.
OAM? The guy that just fought. Yeah, he's from Montreal.
I thought he was going to lose, yeah.
And Bosse?
He's from Montreal. Bosse, I believe, also is from Montreal. OAM looked good.
Because I watched a post-fight, and they spoke French in it, so I don't know how prevalent French is there.
Apparently, Elias. Oh, Montreal. I think it's the second language in Montreal, but I believe it's the first. I mean, we talked to
no,
Chase.
No. Well, that's not in Montreal, though. I'm just saying in Canada is what I was asking.
Oh, no. Yeah, no. It's east and west.
I know. But I'm just saying, how prevalent is it? Does Rory know French? Because I know GSP does, obviously.
It's his first language.
OAM.
Or like Elias Theodoro.
I was just wondering, as far as Canadian fighters go, how much French do they know? We've got weird places. I don't know. Anyways,
if you're from the East, you speak a little bit of French, or if not full on French. If you're from the West, you can speak little to no,
probably none. Like it's like everybody with Spanish here.
Yeah, but I mean, they also put French on all of their like candy and stuff. They have to have English and French on all of their stuff.
How do they swear again in French there? How did Chase say
Sacre bleu? It's religious words.
Yeah. If you're upset at
Tabernacle.
If you're upset at us for being ignorant of French in Canada. Tweet Screw religious you. Slurs at us in French.
If your feelings are hurt that we don't know anything about Montreal, you must be from Montreal.
And you probably don't care.
Or you care too much because you're from Montreal.
No, that was a problem. No, they just didn't care.
Oh, yeah, they just don't care. I forgot about that.
But maybe, I don't know.
All right. Cerrone, Cote. Cerrone looked really good.
He looked good everywhere.
What's next for him at 170?
He didn't. I don't know that he's going to fight there.
He's gonna go back. I thought he was supposed to stay there because he couldn't win at 155.
Nope. At the press conference, he was pretty adamant. Whatever's next for me, or whatever's quick, the next quickest fight, one is either 55 or 70. That's the fight I'm taking, is what he said.
And that makes sense. He wants money, whatever the money fight is.
Mm-hmm. I think. Oh, no, he didn't even say money. He said the next fight.
A lot of people are saying Matt Brown. Obviously, Matt Brown's booked with Jake Ellenberger, but
dude,
Matt
Thompson Brown would be bad, or even Rory for him.
He's got a hard time against the top two or three. I mean, I think Robbie Lawler comes in way too big for him.
Yeah.
How about Pettis dropping down to 145? What do you think about that? You think it helps him any?
Yeah. Yeah.
Even at post-USADA? And I'm not saying post-USADA as in he was using. I mean, post-USADA as in, like, IVs and everything else.
Yeah, I think he's fine.
Most people are going up, so it's really interesting when he goes
down. I was
down.
Surprised 100% like that he was going down when everybody seems to be going up. But, I mean, he's fine.
I just think about Josh Berkman, who looks like he's deathly ill all of the time.
It's also, to a certain extent, easier to cut now with weighing in earlier.
Yeah, and I can agree with that, except with percentages and stuff, it'll make it a little bit more difficult. That covers the card. Is there anything else you were really interested in?
I was kind of bummed about the whole thing. I wanted Letourneau to win. I didn't know.
I wanted JoJo to win.
I didn't know anything about her, in all honesty, and I've liked Valerie.
She's a fan favorite, JoJo is. She's really cool.
I didn't really know OUM,
OAM,
and T-Bow, but that seemed like a mismatch. The Bosse O'Connell, you already know my feelings on that. So I wanted Cerrone to win. Other than that,
Sam Alvey wanted
the Red King to win.
Which is weird. Sam Alvey goes to Bang, which is weird that he just didn't fight. Maybe he was worried about his contract, but he lost anyway. Did you see him on Twitter?
No.
He was apologizing. He was actually finding people that talked about how much the fight sucked and tweeting at them and being like, yeah, that fight did suck. Or someone that was like, oh, I've got to go back and watch the Theodoro Alvey fight. He was like, no, you don't. Just skip it.
You got to get off Twitter, man.
No, you don't.
You got to get off Twitter on that.
If you've got a good attitude, Like,
no, it gets to you regardless, in my opinion.
But he's making it his. You know what I mean? The one thing comedians can't do. I don't know. I'm going to take this thing that everyone makes fun of me for. I guess some of them.
Good on him. I mean, if he can do it, great. I just think send out a message on Instagram or something like that. Just don't look at the comments. And just if you feel bad for it, just say, hey, I'm sorry, everybody. It was a letdown for me way more than it was for you. But I'm sorry if you paid money for it. I hope to come back stronger and move on. That would be my opinion. Not dwell on it. Don't look at it, because everybody that you look at that looks at the comments hurts them.
They talked about if you wanted to go to sleep, just watch the fight. It would put you right to bed. All right. So with that, we got a lot of other news. First thing I want to bring up, I just read that Brock Lesnar has actually been tested what they believe to be at least 3 times and up to 5 times by USADA in the last 2 weeks, which I think is what we talked about, that they were going to just test the hell out of him from the time that he started getting tested to the fight.
Too late now.
Well, yeah, if it's not. And I don't know how many of those tests have come back. Apparently, none of the last 3 that they've done have come back. But you have 5 tests. If he knows he's going to be tested every week, I don't know how long it takes to cycle, but I'm guessing before he ever got under contract with USADA, if, once again, innocent until proven guilty, if he used anything, it was way before any, you know, as soon as he decided to come back, he probably started cycling off everything. I mean, that makes the most sense.
I don't even know if he did or didn't. I just don't like that it's written in. I understand why.
The people have decided.
Though. What's that?
The people have decided that he was juicing beforehand.
I don't really care if that's what they decide. I just hate that it's a thing that can be waived in certain circumstances. I also understand why, though. Like I said, there's a lot of things that it's like, if you're teasing retirement or if you go out of contract, how do you start handling that?
One big issue, too, is people would step in on short notice. And I didn't think about that until I probably Chael Sonnen brought it up. He said if someone steps in on 2 weeks' notice, obviously you have to waive that. They can't, you know, they didn't know that they're going to be in the UFC and they step in on short notice for 2 weeks.
Oh, you mean like if they don't? So
you and I are going
to
fight.
Like say that Jordan wanted to go in on the Utah card against Sean O'Connell. And they're like, we don't have 4 months to test you. And they waive it.
Okay. Or Sean O'Connell's on the card. Someone got injured. We need to find somebody. You're from a local promotion. We're going to bring you from the local promotion up to fight. You have 1 week. I don't even know if those guys get tested. I mean, they probably get tested once by USADA.
They'll still get after the fight too. And
yeah, post-fight. Yeah. And that makes sense. And so moving from Brock Lesnar, Chad Mendes got pinged. We don't know with what. No one said anything. He actually came out with a message on Twitter saying, hey, I should have been more observant with what I was taking. This is totally on me.
I just feel like it's plausible, like, deniability at this point. Like, they almost know it's being put in the substances, and then, like, they just omit it from the label so that they have plausible deniability. But maybe that's not what's happening. I actually haven't read anything.
That's not what's happening.
What happened?
This is the complete opposite of, like, I didn't know it was there. It was I should have known it was there, and I didn't, and that's my fault.
But you could still be saying, you could still say, hey, put this in whatever supplement, don't omit it from the label, and then it's just, oh, well, I should have known, and you did all along.
There's a difference, though, to me, from I should have known better, and I didn't know.
Not in that circumstance. It's the same. It's like a slight variation on the same thing.
No, not at all.
Yeah, it is.
No, and I 100% disagree with you. It's like a dog, leaving a dog in a car. Oh, you got pulled over because you left your dog in your car, and being like, oh, yeah.
Wait, what? You got pulled over because you left your dog in your car?
The cops,
the dog started driving the car.
You're in a parking lot. You come out to your car. The cops are waiting at your car. You come out. You should say, yeah, damn it, I should have known better. I was only in there for so long. And then someone being like, I didn't know I couldn't leave my dog in the car. And it's like, yes, you do. You know you can't leave the dog in the car.
My point is this. If you know both parties knew that they could not leave their dog in the car and they went into the store.
And they did it anyway.
And regardless, they come out and they're in trouble. And it's still, even if it's a white lie, it's still a lie. I'm not saying
that. But he's not lying. One's lying and one's not. One's saying, I totally did it. And one's saying, someone else did it.
Well, one of them saying, I should have known better. I should have done research. He could have very well done his research and just be saying, anyway. I should have done my research.
And I understand
it just
that
one comes
aspect.
Off as more
aloof.
And then the other one is still just more of a
caught.
Badge of honor. Like, I'm going to take the hit. Like, no.
I'd much rather see a badge of honor.
A fake one?
Yeah.
If Jones came
out. We're Americans. We take everything at face value.
Let's say this.
Cuffs half full.
Let's
man.
Say this. Let's say Jones, for example, comes out and he pings for something that was in one of his substances and he says, guys, you know, I should have done my research. What are you going to initially think?
That he did.
He's lying his ass off. Well, he knew exactly what
was
in it.
Look at Leota Machida, DHEA, which is nothing. A masking agent, if you want to. He says, oh, wait, this is on the list? I've been taking this. He doesn't even pee hot for it. It's not even in his system. And people still got mad at him for taking it to begin with because he should have known better. And he should have. However.
No, that's different, though.
He did the right thing. Well, and I guess, yeah, he didn't get in trouble. He got in trouble for it.
I'm saying is with regardless if somebody has a prior knowledge, regardless of what they say after the fact, their intention was still to deceive, even if they take like the badge of honor on top of it. Like I'm saying.
Because if he said, I should have done my research, he's coming off as like, I didn't know that was on there. And if I would have done more research, I would have known.
But he could have very well known that it was already on there.
No,
he's
just saying that.
I'm not saying that's what Chad Mendes did.
That's not how it happens.
I'm not saying
they're all good people and don't want to do anything wrong. And sometimes things happen.
I'm not saying that's what Chad Mendes did. I'm just saying. At this point, with people saying, oh, well, it wasn't on the label. It was in this, like, I should have, like, no. Like, to a certain extent, we're starting to see that this is systematic. Like Yoel Romero. Should he have done his research? What if he would have came out and been like, oh, I should have done my research?
Shouldn't he have eaten that beef in Cuba?
God.
He would have never been caught for anything. Tainted meat.
It's fine. Like, I don't hold anything against Chad Mendes. I don't even care if he juices, if he takes supplements, masking agents. I don't give a shit. But I'm not going to believe you if you just said, oh, darn it, I didn't know it was in there. Should have done my research.
That's not what he said.
Bullshit.
It's not what he said. He claimed responsibility.
I know nothing about the story, by the way. I haven't read anything on it other than headlines.
Yeah.
So I just want that
to be clear. That's all there is, really, because... That's all he said was, I should have done more research, so he's owning up to something, but they haven't come out and said what it is. And that's why I think he might have got ahead of it and been like, because all those people that are like, I didn't take anything, everyone's like, oh, what was it? And then they immediately come out with what it was. So maybe if he gets ahead of it and he's like, legally, if I do this and this, they won't release it for a longer amount of time and I can get in front of it. Like, that I understand. Whereas like a Yoel Romero and Tim Means are like, I didn't do anything. And they have to, and everyone's like, all right, cool. You say you didn't do anything. Let's tell you exactly what was in your system. And the fact is, it's Mendes. He's in California. It could be marijuana metabolites for all we know. It might. I'm just saying. Carson rolled his eyes. He can't see it.
Here.
It could be.
I had to let him see.
Yeah. So I doubt it, but it could be.
Innocent. I don't know what it is. And I honestly don't care. I'm just saying at this point, like, I'm just not going to believe you if come in and say, oh, I should have done my research. Oh, I didn't know it was in there. They're the same thing to me. I still assume the party knew. The only difference between me and everybody else is I'm not going to hang them and bring it up down the line, even though to prove my point, I did it in a lot of instances, and I feel very bad about that. But, like, I would prefer fighter safety, and I'm glad that we have USADA now, but I'm not going to hang somebody because they're taking masking agents or something.
I've got my pitchfork. And my,
oh, do you?
And my.
Well, that was part of the problem. I didn't want to go buy one, so I was just going to take the lazy.
What do they call them? The burning torch. I've got my pitchfork and torch. We're going to Team Alpha Male.
We're gonna do a California pitchfork raid of all MMA gyms.
Yeah,
it's gonna be a good tour.
That'll teach him. So if he has to sit out for 2 years, what does it do?
Two years?
No, if he does, that's what the rule. That's what the rule is.
That's what it is?
If you break a USADA rule...
No, he didn't do it.
...for 2 years.
No, he didn't do it. He said he didn't know and he should have done his research. He said he should have done his research. He's sorry.
Oh, yeah.
6 months, just like Yoel.
Yeah. 2 years.
I still don't believe him.
Peak of his career.
That's absurd.
That's what it is.
No,
if you,
I don't like
if
that.
You get busted for... If you get busted and Leota Machida will be 2 years, BJ Penn will be 2 years... Frank Mir is 2 years. All of it. Immediate 2 year ban. Chad Mendes will be, other than financially, Chad Mendes will be fine. I think.
Oh, he's fine financially too. He does stuff outside of UFC. He does the
fins
like
and feathers. Yeah, yeah. And, but who knows how well it's actually doing. But I hope it's doing well. Because he's, for the next 2 years, guy, you know? Oh yeah, he's a good dude.
He's good. He's good.
He just got
Alpha
made.
Mill will take care of him. I actually, if there was anybody that I think would be fine, I think him and team like Alpha Mill, like Uriah said it, like it's not necessarily a winning enterprise to be a coach, but I do think they'll take care of their own. Like he has a place to stay guaranteed.
One, Benavidez is gone and Dillashaw's gone and all those other guys are gone. So I mean, it makes sense to take care of him. I don't feel bad because if he took something and that's what the punishment is. You know now you're going to get 2 years. Leota Machida's in much worse shape than he is.
And Frank even worse.
Yeah, and Frank should be done. Hmm. They tested him again. Frank's B sample came back hot too. So well, he's done.
He tested him again or his B sample from
his
that
B
one?
His B sample from that one.
Okay. That's a little different than testing him again. He's like, he just didn't stop. He kept going. Yeah. Even after he pinged, he's pissing still. He's pissing hot.
But I mean, that shows you a lot. He came out and was like, it was a minute amount. Why would that be in my system? Chell got behind him. All these people got behind him. And then all of a sudden it was like, yep.
What was the B sample trace too, though?
I don't know. That's all I know. There was another sample taken that tested positive for the same thing. So big,
2 years is crazy.
Good.
No.
Good. 2 years.
No, man, it's live.
Immediate. Then don't do it.
No.
Then don't, or find a better way to cheat.
It's got
to
be progressive. Like a year for the first one, and then go 2 years, and then done after third.
That's how they did it. It was first like 6 months, and then it was a year, and then they immediately jumped to 2 years. But the UFC sells, they can change it. So let's get into this. The UFC has, according to Flow Combat, Jeremy Botter, who's actually sometimes really accurate and sometimes really wrong, just like most MMA media, the UFC has sold to, I believe, three different organizations that have all helped put up $4.2 billion, something like that. This just broke a couple hours ago, actually. So the story is Kraft Group, which owns the Patriots, the Dubai group that already owns part of the UFC, and Chinese organization that didn't say how much that they put into it, and some other parties ended up putting this $4.1 billion. For all we know, the Fertittas still own a portion of it. Maybe Dana got a bigger portion. You know,
bigger?
Yeah, he owns like 9%.
So how would he get bigger, though, if it's being bought out?
I guess he wouldn't. He wouldn't have the money. Good point.
I would think maybe he would still keep a percentage, like 1% or something like
no,
that.
No, he'll probably still keep his 9%. And if he doesn't, then they would have to buy it out and he'd be...
I figure that's what they were doing. They're putting $4 billion down.
He'd be a multi-millionaire.
I just don't think he would stick around without the Fertittas. He said as much. He's like, I'm not sticking around with the Fertittas.
But we don't know if the Fertittas... And for all we know, there's an article out right now that tells us. But for all we know, the Fertittas could still own...
I just don't see it happening. Do you?
Yeah.
You think that they...
I could see them keeping a percentage of it.
I don't think they're that interested in it.
I think that they want the football team, and I think this definitely helps with it, and I think it helps them get in with the Kraft Group, who will probably go... they will go help them get in with other people, but I think that the UFC continues to gain...
I figure
fans and money, and I think that they keep a foot in the game.
I have no idea how these things work. Let's just keep that 100. But I would kind of see it more as not necessarily them keeping a percentage, but them almost keeping their stadium for an NFL team, and then the UFC still gets to use it when they're in Vegas.
So they just use it as a rental property for the UFC. They could be gone, but if it were me, I would keep a small percent. I would keep like 10%.
Or the vice versa, like the football team, they have a joint thing. Because I think the UFC actually probably owns it. It's part of the, I assume it's part of their.
You could easily keep a small percentage of the company and not have a majority vote and not have to worry about it. You know what I mean?
I mean, I'm cool with that.
I don't know if you can own 10% of a company and make millions of dollars a year just by having.
These are my demands, Justin. Yeah. Helwani be giving full status forever. To make right. I know he's already been brought back, but I want him to have no repercussions at all.
Why don't they just start paying him?
I don't want Reebok around anymore.
Okay.
Good call on that. I'm not gonna pretend like I didn't get that comment. That was good. I want Stitch back. These are unnegotiable. And I want Liddell. Give me Liddell back.
Liddell Jones.
I want Liddell Jones.
But I mean,
these are non-negotiable.
That's the interesting part. What does that mean for those people to have fake jobs? Forrest Griffin, Chuck Liddell, Matt Hughes, that are like ambassadors and PR, and like, does that mean they're going to get booted because they have fluff jobs?
Not if they can justify their because position.
Because they're MMA fluffers.
Not if they can justify their position. We call them influencers in the business.
We call them influencers. That's a good point. That's a good point. Well, and I mean, they're going to get invited to fan expos and different things like that. But usually those are the first people to go. The people that are just kept around because they've been around for so long.
Oh, yeah. But I mean, if they can justify their position, if they've found talent recently, if somebody like found Aljamain Sterling or something like that, I'm not saying that they did. I'm just saying if they can justify it, I don't know what the hell they're doing. Which I would assume that would mean they're getting kicked. If I don't know.
I think they're grooming, you know? I think they're grooming the old owner or GM of Man United to come in. I'd have to read it. The old
Gazidis?
I don't know. He was like he might have been the president. Yeah, well, you look that up.
My idiot. Gazidis.
So anyway, so he's involved.
Oh, that's Arsenal.
Idiot.
Yeah. I was like, that doesn't sound right. So anyway, so this is a big deal for a lot of reasons. One, a lot of those guys might lose their jobs because they don't do anything. Two is
Glazer family.
The Glazer family?
Yeah.
The second thing is, where was I going with this? There's a much bigger chance of unionizing. Because if you have a NFL type organization over it, maybe not because of Dubai though. And well, not association. Sorry, wrong word. But if you have a Dubai,
hold on. Before we move on that, now I'm sorry to cut you off. No. Why would they go to an association though if they're spending more money and they want to make that the Premier League? Why would they spend all that money on something that's already been built up just to do an association?
Not them.
To bring other people. Not the owner. Table?
Not the owners. The fighters.
Well, it's. I mean, for an association to still happen, though, it has to ultimately make sense for the owners, and then that's kind of how the fighters get the foot in the door to have more control. But it's first got to make sense to the owners, too.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah, it does.
Unions.
Why would they ever start?
Unions never made sense to the owners.
We're not talking about unions. We're talking about associations. So, okay, so let's say
you can form an association without the blessing of the business.
Not initially. How else? So, what? How would it come about?
Fighters get together, they form an association, and they say in order to do these contracts, you have to work through this association.
No.
Yes.
So, no, it would be essentially Conor McGregor wants to fight... Who's in...
RDA.
No, but... No.
Oh, different organization?
Yeah.
Nobody cares.
That's the whole point. That's the whole point. Why would they start an association?
But that's we're not talking that type of association. You could be in a fighters association and still have a contract with the UFC. What you're doing now is the association.
Of course you would. That you always will.
Yeah. The association would end up. The association wouldn't cross promote. Right now, there's no reason to cross promote. What the association would do is make sure the fighters were getting paid in whatever organization that they were in.
I don't. And maybe I'm misunderstanding it. We'll have to have Sean back on. Absolutely, but I think you're misunderstanding it.
100% no.
No, because the association, all that does is it gives the promotion power and bringing everybody to the table to the fighter. Yes, it does.
We need to have this discussion later. What the association does is it takes power away from the company and gives it back to a group of fighters instead of just one fighter.
No, it brings it back on an individual basis of making a fight. When Floyd Mayweather comes, it's not him with an association of
everybody. No, that's not an association. Hey, come on, guys. That's a promotion, not an association.
Exactly. That's what an association is.
No.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not. Promotions and associations are completely different.
No.
Yes.
No, it's... Okay, yes, it is, but I'm saying the promotion, it's the association is bringing promotions together, and there has to be a reason to bring promotions.
That's what we're talking about.
No reason.
Associations.
You just said there's no reason to bring.
That's not the conversation we're having. Okay. You just changed the word from association to promotion. I'm not talking about promotions.
Promotions are brought into associations.
They can be, yes. However, they don't have to be. Conor McGregor Promotions doesn't have to be part of the Fighters Union. Or the Fighters Association. The Fighters Association can just be a bunch of fighters who want more pay and now have lawyers and arbiters and all of those people that are in their corner to help get them more money. Not a second promotion. The UFC is the promoter. That's the whole point with Conor McGregor and Floyd Mayweather. They cannot fight without Conor McGregor going through the UFC because he is under contract with the promotion. Not the association, with the promotion.
There's no association right now.
No, there's not.
I know. So is what I'm saying is the only reason, like, just having an association inside the UFC for UFC fighters doesn't, that makes no sense.
I agree with you. There would be an association for all fighters, but it wouldn't mean cross promotion between.
Yes, it does.
It doesn't have to.
It's whatever it's, it gives the fighters more, it gives the fighters more sway in the promotion aspect of it, so they can get more of the cut of the pie.
Yeah, okay, I can agree with that.
And so there's no reason for the UFC to allow them or to set up an association.
They don't have to set up the association. The association says, the association sets itself up.
Then why haven't they done it yet?
Because there's so much power and so much contractual obligation to the UFC.
And you think that's going to go away now that it's built? It's now billed as being a $4 billion company.
No, but I think they're a lot less. I think that they become a lot less scared. And you have Cerrone's and Diaz and McGregor and JoJo and all of those people that are coming in and saying, "We need more money. How do we do it? We form an association and we fight for ourselves."
Nah, I don't. I don't. That's not the way that's going at all, in my opinion. I could be wrong. I don't think the association happens until
it's on the way that way. And if you talk to Sean, that's why he thinks the UFC is getting out of the game, because of the associations coming in.
The associations, but from what I mean, as long as there's not another promotion, because in boxing, the association, quote unquote, didn't exist until there were two promotions that could compete that had fighters on either side of the promotion that came together.
And you have a solid point there.
And I just don't see, now that the UFC even being billed as a $4 billion company, it diminishes the other ones even more, being like, oh, wow, well, and if they start throwing around more money to pay these fighters, more people are going to come in. There's going to be more shows. They're going to own lower promotions on top of it, and they're going to fill those up too. I think the Bellator start dying.
A lot of things could change, though. Because a football season's, what, 13 games?
16.
16 games, and it's over a season. You could have a UFC, instead of having 40 events a year now, where they have 2 to 3 a month, you could actually end up cutting it down and having, and just cutting all of those fighters that aren't making your association money.
They won't do that.
They won't, but you got to remember, these people are using a new sport, and that's why I think the Fertittas are going to stay in a bit, because I think these people are going to say, you keep 10% and you come teach us how it's done, and if you want to sell it after, you can, but we'd prefer that you keep enough skin in the game. Do you want this to succeed for you to keep making money and for us to continue?
I'm not saying that they won't. I just, my whole thing is that I just don't see this leading towards associate. I do agree with you, them getting out of it is kind of them seeing the writing on the wall and seeing like an association coming. Once somebody comes in with a bid at $4 billion, what do you see Bellator at, or WSOF, or ONE? Like, what are the, I mean, honestly, do you know what they're valued at all?
No idea.
I would bet it's somewhere probably around $1 billion, right? Like, I feel like that would be.
You want to know my favorite part about this? NFL or any professional teams, usually someone will purchase it. They will plan on losing money for the first 5 years and selling it for double what they purchased it, which means most of these, and these guys have a mentality of a professional sports background. So what we could see is them coming in, throwing a ton of money at it, planning on selling it in the long run, and we could see some really, really cool things with all of the money that are about to come in. I'm excited for that. So to finish up...
Hold on. You were going to say something about Dubai, though, and I cut you off. I apologize.
They own part of it.
You were going to say something about... And then I cut you off about the whole association thing.
I apologize. I really don't remember. It's all right.
But they own part of it. They did from a couple years ago.
A Chinese organization owns part of it. It depends on how they're going to function.
And that's how they
got it. ONE FC does a really good job, but he's a Harvard grad. He just happens to be Asian. GSP.
I've actually not heard anything about this.
GSP says that his management is talking with the UFC's management for him to come back. He is ready to come back and fight again.
It's because stupid money's flying around, man. Yes.
And well, he said one of the rumors of why he took so long is because if they were going to sell, he wanted to make sure before he came back in, I think all of that was taken care of, or he knew what was going on. So one person that they brought up was Michael Bisping, that he could potentially fight Michael Bisping for one of his matches back. He said, because he's not looking to keep a belt and he's just looking for exciting fights, fights that excite him, is what he kept saying, that he could easily make 145.
I think he means fights I can win.
He could, yeah, nah, no, yeah, yeah, yes, to a point, but I think he would lose for $15 million. He says he can make lightweight. He says he's a small.
Oh, you said 145 and then lightweight. Lightweight, I'm fine.
155. He can make lightweight. He says he's a small welterweight. He can make lightweight, and he also would have no problem fighting at 185, depending on the stylistic matchup. And he thinks he can beat Bisping, and I think he could too, depending on size and different things like that. But that was one of them. He said that he would potentially fight McGregor because McGregor would talk, and you know, he had that like half grin. Like, when they said Bisping said that he would put him back into retirement, which he said on the last MMA hour, he just started laughing, and he kept just reiterating that he liked Michael Bisping. Like, oh, I like Michael Bisping.
I like him.
So it's just a really, really funny thing. But yeah, so, hey, there's our puppy.
And wife of yours.
And wife. Hi. Apparently we didn't close the door because the dog got right in. But yeah, so I think it's really exciting. GSP will come back. No matter who he fights, it's going to be huge. It would be cool to see him fight Michael Bisping at 185. I'd rather see him fight at a welterweight. I don't care to see him fight Robbie Lawler. I don't think he cares to fight Robbie Lawler.
I'd love it.
It would be cool to see him fight Stephen Thompson and bring TriStar back. He really likes Stephen Thompson too, though. Apparently he was like, it was great for him. He's going to go fight for the belt.
He was the one blowing him up, wasn't he?
Robbie. Yeah, he trained at TriStar. Yeah. He trained at TriStar, and I think that's why they had an issue with Roy McDonald. And I think, as weird as it sounds, I think he may have tuned up Roy McDonald a couple times at TriStar because Roy McDonald fought him differently. And if you train together and you're like, this guy tuned me up, it's going to be hard to go out and have that confidence that you're going to just go beat him.
He shelled up so weird. Again, I understand why he did, but it was that when he was going in, it was so, and then he would just pick him apart in the body when he couldn't see. It's rough. That was a rough fight to watch. But I'm honestly, give me any GSP fight and I'm watching it.
Patrick Cote.
I'd watch it. I don't care. You can fight Sam Alvey for all I care. I'll watch it. I don't even care if Sam Alvey was a boring fight and I go back and watch that. I watch GSP all day.
That's true.
Closing on that. Him coming back with the UFC being sold, if it does, I think it's smart for him. I think that most people nearing free agency should hold out. Obviously, like, I'm not a fighter. If something on the table comes to you and it makes more sense, you're in a much better position to make that decision than me.
Yep.
But I think they're in a good place to make more money, whether or not the UFC sells. And I do think for Rory, again, he probably is going to get some crazy money thrown at him too if he ends up probably trying to leave, if they get with, but I think that he would actually benefit kind of like Lawler did from stepping away from the UFC for a little bit.
I'm going to close with one thing. Do it. And that is going to be, we don't need any more podcasts with one comedian and one UFC fighter or MMA fighter. We've reached our limit with comedians and MMA podcasts.
I know the fighter and the kid. Then what?
The fighter and the kid. I think MMA roasted. He's just a comedian, but I think he has enough MMA fighters on that we can do that one.
Steven Crowder is like a political voice that's a stand-up comedian, but then also has like everybody on. He's also been on Joe Rogan's show. That's another one, kind of. He's his own show.
There's a lot of them that are one comedian, one MMA fighter, and.
So I got to stop being funny, and you got to stop fighting.
We just can't Paul on the show anymore. I got to stop being funny, and you have to stop.
So we're not going to be here next week. Yeah. Jordan and Paul are going to be the hosts.
Comedian and a fighter. Well done. Thanks again, guys, for tuning in. Make sure that you subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, whatever you're listening on, and follow us on Twitter and tell us why we're wrong @OneSpeedMMA. Thank you so much for tuning in. We'll see you next week.